All right, 564. Last time we did mitzvah, gerus mitzvah. Hu hayomer, mitzvah gibbon, hu hayomer al tivaz l'chol odom v'al timafli l'chol dovar. He used to say, do not scorn any person. I guess that's the best word. Do not be scornful of any person. V'al timafli l'chol dovar. Do not be disdainful of anything. Shein l'chodom, shein l'shodom, hadavar shein l'mokom. Nobody doesn't have his moment. There's nothing that doesn't have its place. The first idea here is that every human being has a worth. Everybody is worth something. So if you see somebody, say, what's he worth? And what does he do? What's his contribution? What does he do? Everybody's got a worth. You know, sometimes of course Rav made different people with different talents, different abilities. Everybody's got something to contribute. And number one, now al timaflik v'chol davar, and don't be disdainful of anything. It says David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's insanity needed for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David HaMelech, you'll see, you're going to need it yourself. And David HaMelech went to the Plishti king, and the Plishti started getting a little upset with David HaMelech, and his life was in danger. He started drooling on himself and drawing, scrawling on walls and drooling on doors and drooling on himself to show that he himself is insane. And the insanity saved him. Everything in the world, so that people say, what do we need ants for? What do you need wind for? What do you need spiders for? You look at, gee, what is his contribution in the overall plan? And what is the contribution in the overall plan? So that you don't know, but the answer is that remember, in the laws of nature, since we need some ants, you need all the ants, because all the ants work together. If there weren't be all the ants, you wouldn't have some ants. Some of the ants we need, because some of the ants eat up bacteria that could cause harm to human beings, and the whole system worked. You know, what do we care about a couple of mountain goats? You know, out in the Canadian Rockies. You know, how are they helping us here? The answer is that you need mountain goats everywhere, right? Because mountain goats do help. Because mountain goats sometimes stop whatever it is, the damage or harm, or what they contribute. Many things which we can't even possibly know. So everything has a place. Number one. Number two. Alti mafli l'chol davar means. Every human being has his moment. Every human being. I had a guy in high school who was socially inept, a poor student, and a terrible athlete. Right? He was a loser. I'll try to fight. He was a loser on all fronts. Right? So senior year of high school, we put the guy on the basketball team because the guy just wanted him to be on the team so badly. He just couldn't shoot, pass, or dribble. But we let him be on the team. And the guy was almost like the man. He was almost like the camp class mascot. You know, we kind of tolerated him. But you know, so then I remember the last game of our senior year, we were playing for the championship, and we were down by about 40 points. We were getting killed. Right, and we're just disgusted. And the first time I was in any game, I took myself out of the game. I told the coach, get me out of here. I was disgusted. I couldn't stand it. You know, we're losing. Yeah, it was just torture. So we're late in the fourth quarter, and we're just sitting there, just waiting to get the thing over so we could go home. And these guys were giving it. They're rubbing it in our face real bad. There's these Jewish guys. We're from the yeshiva. These were these Jewish guys. There's some bad history between us anyway. And these guys were they had a couple of goyim on their team. They were just dancing all over us and rubbing it in real bad. And they're laughing. We're just like this. So finally, about maybe 3-4 minutes before the end of the game, the coach put him in. You know, we're all just watching the guy. And they were still just pouring it on. This guy's got an inbound. He's got an inbound. The ball went out of bounds. He's got an inbound. So he wasn't very coordinated either. So he's about to throw the inbound. We're down 40 points. There's a guy in the other team. I still remember his first name was Jose. He's a Jewish kid. And Jose was something like Jose Rabinowitz, something like that. And Jose's taller than him. So this guy's, he's about to throw in an inbound. And Jose's pressuring the inbound down by 40 with 3 minutes left. And Jose's jumping up and down, pressuring the inbound. So this guy winds up to throw it in. He's not very coordinated. He winds up and he throws it, and he throws it with all his might, and he nailed Jose. As Jose's pressuring it, he hit Jose right on the point of the chin as he nailed it. He just nailed it. It's like from point blank, I would just hurl the ball and throw it right in your face. And so he throws it, he caught Jose. I just remember that Jose jumped, he caught him on such a perfect angle, he actually carried him backwards. Jose, instead of getting hit, he just kind of went, and he's jumping up like this. Next thing you know, he's like, he's going backwards. Like he was on his back, down for the count, on his back. I just heard, we exploded off the bench. We just went wild. And the guy was like, he was just looking at like, what happened? You know, what did I do? You know, what did I do? You know, and I just remember that was his moment in the spotlight. You know, he nailed him right on the point of the chin. Boy, did I not like that kid Jose either. You know, and it's that's like about, you know, Imla Khadover Channel, everybody's got his moment. Everybody's got a moment in the and everything in the world has a place. Now there's another thing that the fortune say, Alti Mafligul Hodover. The word Mafli, how's he translated? That'd be the state place. The word Mafligul also means, it's used in the context of Chazal, it means to distance, to push it off. He fligu besina, when they're traveling in a boat, they went off the distance in a boat, the Loshon of Chazal. The Mafli means to distance something. Don't distance anything. Don't say about something which is a concern, it's not a concern. I'll be mafli hold over. Don't say things that are not a concern, right? There are certain things that are not concerns, right? Because they're JJ. You don't have to be concerned. I hope the roof of the building doesn't. Every time you're sitting in a room, I hope the roof doesn't came in. I just hope you still saw the roof doesn't came in. You know, it's an unreasonable, but when there are reasonable concerns, right? Don't push it off, right? And don't push it off. Say, it'll be okay. Right, we're going to go traveling around the country. We should be okay. Right? There are plenty of tragedies, and you're not going to. You better be careful. And there are people, people have to be constantly being sent in military helicopters to pull people out of ravines and go searching for them. Right? If there is something, don't live carelessly. Don't live recklessly and carelessly, especially by explaining away your actions by saying, "Well, I have bitachon." Which a lot of people do. I got bitachon. I trust in God. I'm trusting God. You're irresponsible. But I got leave, so I say, don't confuse bitachon with laziness, with irresponsibility. Right? Oh, I have bitachon. You're not bitachon. You're irresponsible. Now, why should I prepare myself for? Why do I have to worry about parnasa? I have bitachon. You don't have bitachon. You're too lazy to make a parnasa. You're irresponsible. Don't confuse bitachon with irresponsibility. If you're in a bad neighborhood, well, I'll be okay. I'm going to take a walk through Harlem. I'll be okay. Right? There's a concern. You're not supposed to. What are you doing there? You shouldn't be there. Right? You shouldn't be there. Don't go anywhere near the place. You know Rav Pindrus? Rav Pindrus told me he was on a fundraising trip. He was in Harlem. He was sitting in the car. The guy got out of the car, left him in the car. There's some drunk black guy comes over to him. And he looks in, and he's coming to ask for money. And he looks in, and he sees this is in December. He looks and sees Rav Pindrus in the car. He goes, "Hey, there's Santa Claus." Right. So, you know, he told me he was driving through Washington Heights. Is that the place where YU is? He was running very late. He would just cross the Washington Bridge or something, and then Washington Heights, and he needed a minion. He was looking for a minion to somewhere, and so he just driving past YU. So he saw like one of the black security guys outside. So he says, "Excuse me, is there a synagogue around here?" So he goes, "Well, I don't know what a synagogue is. There's a base medrash right over there." Right? So, you know, so people sometimes do foolish things. Yeah, people sometimes do foolish things. A guy goes to the subway in the wrong neighborhood. A guy does, you know, don't just say, "Well, yeah, we'll be okay." You know, you can't. There's certain neighborhoods you got to stay out of certain places. They're dangerous. You can't just go driving around there. Why, you know, hanging around there. She says that's alti. That's what it means. Alti vazchalav alti mafliga chadavar. Rabbi Levitas ish Yavne Omer. Rabbi Levitas from Yavne said the following: Me'od me'od hevei shvar ruach. Be very, very. How does he translate it? Contrite of spirit. How does he translate?
Humble.
They say humble in spirit. Shetikvas enosh rima. Because man's ultimate fate is the worms. So the commentary says, the person say that in every midah, a person should always go to the middle. Find the middle level. The only one where you should go to the extreme is when it comes to humility. By humility, a person should go to the extreme. As it says, Me'od me'od hevei shvar ruach. Be very, very humble. You notice it says Me'od me'od. It says the word Me'od twice. Me'od me'od hevei shvar ruach. Shetikvas enosh rima. Man's the ultimate hope The ultimate hope is Worms. The ultimate destination is Worms. Now, what's interesting is the word tikva means what? It really means hope. Hatikva, the song Hatikva, the national anthem of Palestine, tikva means the hope. It really means the hope. Liot am chavshi be'aretzeinu, to be free of any Torah constraints in our land, right? Liot am chavshi be'aretzeinu. So that's what the word hatikva means. The word hatikva means the hope. I mean, it means the hope. And the Mishnah then takes on a different meaning, because the Mishnah says, "Be meod meod heve shalruach," be very, very, what do you call it? Shetikvas en oshrima, man's ultimate hope is the worms. What does that mean? The Mishnah is telling you, you know why you should be on the plane, meaning again is that you should be very humble, because ultimately you're going to be worms. Ultimately you're going to turn into, a person's going to die and they're going to decompose. They're going to be eaten by worms. So what have you got to be arrogant about? I just heard recently, by the way, they have a new medical treatment for people who have gangrene. And people have gangrene and they have to, I don't know anything about the medical, I don't know what the medical ins and outs are, but there are people who have gangrene and they have to cut away part of the infected skin. Now, apparently it's a very complicated and delicate and difficult surgery to do. There's a doctor who has been successful by taking maggots, putting the maggots on the gangrene area, and apparently the maggots, because the maggots eat dead skin, and they leave the live flesh, and somehow they eat all those parts which have to be eaten, which are gangrened and they're dead, then the skin somehow regenerates itself. That's a new come up with. So the Mishnah says, "Meod meod heve shalruach, be humble, shetikva seno shrima, because one day you're going to be worms." That's the plain meaning of the Mishnah. But I saw that Chassam Sofer says another idea. Chassam Sofer says like this: imagine on the day of judgment, person lives, dies, goes up after 120 years. They have the judgment day, and God says to them, "Okay, why didn't you build a yeshiva?" Me? Build a yeshiva? I'm capable. Me? Yeah, why didn't you build a tzedakah organization? Me? Why didn't you finish all shas? Me? I'm a worm. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. Why didn't you accomplish this and accomplish? I'm a maggot. Right? So you guys are going to say, really? Let's see how you behave at the office. Right? See how you behave around people. Right? Did you live your life thinking that you were a maggot? You live your life thinking you were a hot shot, that you were hot stuff. Right? You live your life thinking that you were, the Gemara says there are four reasons why people lose their property. One of them is their haughtiness, their arrogance. Wealthy men can lose all their money, and the Gemara says because of their arrogance, their haughtiness, intolerable, God can't stand it. So a person comes up and God says, he's got an excuse, I was nothing, I was a nobody. Oh, really? Is that how you live your life? Or you push people around and you thought you were hot stuff and you came strutting into shul because you made some money, which you probably inherited from your father altogether, right? Or because you finally got lucky, caught a lucky break and you took credit for it. Right? You didn't live your life. That's what the Mishnah says. You should be humble because man's ultimate hope is the worms. What does that mean? His ultimate hope is the worms. Your excuse to the world to come, you only have one hope. That you actually thought of yourself as a worm in this world. If you behave like a worm in this world, then you can say in the world to come, you know, God, listen, I was just a mere worm. Right? But if you live with your nose up in the air in this world, you can't come to the world and say, listen, I was a worm. God said, listen. Because ultimately it's our own actions that judge us. Ultimately, whatever we do in this world, that's going to be the prosecution in the world to come. Ultimately, you yourself prosecute yourself. So if you were one way in this world, you can't all of a sudden turn in the world to come. You thought quite highly of yourself. So how come all of a sudden you tell me you were a worm, you weren't capable? When it came to money, you seemed to be capable. When it was my case, the money, you were very capable, incredibly capable, more capable than we ever would have believed. So all of a sudden you're coming up with excuses. Now, you're capable. You're very, very good. You were good and capable. That's an elder shetikvas en oshrima. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer. One who disgrates God's name in private, payment is taken from him in public. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid b'chil Hashem, whether unintentional or intentional when it comes to Chil Hashem. Difficult to understand exactly what it means. The bottom line of the Mishnah is that if a person desecrates God's name in private, certainly in public, but even in private, desecration of God's name means you go and you do averas, thinking God's not watching you, or thinking that you're going to rebel against God. But even things you do in private, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expose you in public. Right? And that one way or another, your averas are going to be seen. One way or another, some HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about that what you're doing in private will become known to people. And if it doesn't become known in this world, it'll become known in the world to come. And so, of course, in the ultimate, a person could in the world to come, you play back a film of your life, and the entire heavenly academy is there. They're all sitting around watching. They see everything you did, things in private, things even more private, things in public. They're all watching. People are like, "Wow, he gave tzedakah. Is that beautiful? Huh? You know, ooh, that's bad. Look at that." Everything a person does is going to be on film, quote, so to speak. Right? That's all going to be played back in the world to come. So even if it's not exposed in this world, it'll be exposed in the world to come. Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi Omer Alobed Amanas Lamed. One who learns in order to teach, Maspikin be other little Lamed. He will be provided with opportunities to learn and to teach. You're looking for a motivation to learn? Do you learn in order to teach it? Right? Then God will give you the opportunities to learn it and to teach it. But the Alomed Amanas Lasos. One who learns in order to do. He's provided with the opportunity to learn and to teach and to keep it and to do it. And there are different levels of what your motivation is. Are you learning in order to be able to teach? Okay, that's one level. And then God will give you opportunity to teach. You learn Torah, God will give you opportunity to teach people. If you're learning in order to do, I'm learning in order to fulfill God's will, right? If you're learning in order to teach, it may be full, you know, that may be one level God's will, maybe one level your will. I'm learning in order to do. I'm doing it no thought other than doing God's will. God will provide you with the ability to learn it, to teach it, and to do it. Okay. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Al Tifresh Min HaTzibur. Rabbi Tzadok says, don't separate yourself from the community. We'll stop with this one. Just to tell you what Al Tifresh Min HaTzibur means. Don't separate yourself from the community means everybody makes up part of the community. Eventually you're going to live in a community, you're going to be a member of a community. People don't like being told what to do. You're a member of a shul, the shul decides to do one thing, well, I'll do my own thing. Right? You can't live life that way. You have to live life as a conformist. You have to conform to the community. But don't separate yourself. You are a part of the community. The community is made up of people like you. And don't say, well, there's a community and there's me. The community is not doing what I want them to do. You know, so I'm going to separate. You are the community. You make up the community. You're a member of the community. I'll keep us free, not see where. Community is doing something. You do it with the community. Don't separate yourself from the community. There are people who are always alone. People are always alone in life. They don't belong to this group. Don't belong to that group. They're always separate because they don't like the people. They don't like the people. They're always separate. They're always finding flaws. They separate themselves from the community. Mm-hmm. It's always easy to find. Not hard to find flaws. We're all masters of finding flaws. Don't live life that way. You find yourself there more in every situation of life. There are benefits and there are problems. Right? There's a problem being alone. There's a problem not being alone. You're alone, you have your privacy. But then if you're alone, there's nobody to help you. When you're part of a group, so you have less privacy. But then again, you have to do with people help. You have to make a choice. The best way for a Jew to live is by being a member of a community. A Jew is by definition a member of a community. Klal Yisrael is called Klal Yisrael because we're a klal. So by definition, you belong to a group. Is everybody in your group perfect? No. Are all the decisions going to be happy with you? No. It's a lot. That's a lot. All right. Basically, that's the last of the stories.